we felt very, very much like we wanted to do our best to translate the essence of the novel to the screen.
And we wanted to be as brave as the book is. That was one of our goals to ourselves. Don't flinch, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Don't pull punches. Don't pull punches. Go at things just like Welch did, and really try to figure out a cinematic equivalent of the way he works with the words on the page.
Some of the words are directly from the novel, aren't they? There was a great line, "I was as distant from myself as the hawk from the moon." Those are lines taken straight out of the novel.
Yeah, it was very hard to resist a lot of the language in the novel.
Because it's so beautiful.
Because it's poetic and precise and, very, very original, and it's just his voice. And one of the largest elements of our work on the film was figuring out how much and how little to use a voiceover, because you do want to go into it, and also we made up a lot. We also try to work in his voice, and Chaskay, our lead actor, was able to sometimes find the equivalency.
And he's blessed with a great voice. He's got a great set of pipes, doesn't he? For a young man, very deep and melodious voice, I think. A pleasure to listen to, just if you're just not even listening to the meaning of the words, but just the tone of his voice.
Yeah, Chaskay, wonderful, wonderful actor, wonderful human being. And his voice is very it's interesting because he's in character in all of the voiceover, and he was recording that. We would send him lines while we were in the edit to stitch something together or to explain something, and he would go to his apartment in Williamstown in Williamsburg in Brooklyn, and turn off the lights, lay down on the floor, and record it on his iPhone, and then email them to us, and we'd slap them up on the screen, see if they worked, so that when we actually got into the full-on final sound recording, he was prepared, we were prepared, and he actually changed some lines because there are certain things that we couldn't access as well as him because he was in the skin of that character, and because he's Native American. So Chaskay had a voice in some of the voiceover lines. They're either Jim or Chaskay's mostly.
The style of the film is to interweave the past and the present throughout the film, and that is done so beautifully. And in part, it's not only you as the writers and directors deciding how that should be done, but your cinematographer had to figure that out as well.
And I think, to give him credit, our editor, because some of that we figured out, in our conversations with Paola, our DP, and on the set, figuring out transitions so that we had the camera transitions. But other ones came to us in the edit room where it didn't necessarily work the way we had intended, and we found another spot for the flashback or the memory scene. So, but it was a really complicated three-man weave.
Yeah, the movie goes between the past and the present and what we call the other, which is things that are happening that may or not be real, that our main character is experiencing, and it might be sort of delusion based on alcohol, based on his own repression and his own dreams and needs, and sort of modern day vision quest.
So adventures
in the spirit world, yeah. Exactly. So to balance those three elements, now, then, and other, took a lot of braiding and unbraiding and trying things out and moving things around. So when we were shooting, there was sort of a discussion with our cinematographer, Paolo Uidobro, about how we shoot those different worlds. We didn't want anyone to be like too nostalgic or too golden. We also didn't want them to be too like drained of color, too depressed. So it was a little more subtle than that. But each of those three strands does have a different look to it. But as Andrew was saying, our editor, Michael Hoffaker, worked really hard to make it flow like the book does, in and out of present tense, in and out of consciousness. And he came up with a couple of style things for us, especially some of the recovered memory of the night before, where we were piecing the night together slowly. And that's in the book. Some of it was in the script, but a lot of it came in the edit.
There are so many great performances in the film. Chaskay, of course, as the lead character, is fantastic, I think. But the others, there are almost too many to mention, but I'll just mention a few of my favorites, and that's Saginaw Grant's portrayal as Yellow Calf.
Saginaw is a remarkable person, and and a honored actor and a leader. He's a spokesperson. He's got
How old is he now? He must be
He's not as old as he seems in the film, but he you know, he's ancient in some ways, and in other ways he's very spry. He was wonderful, and we hadn't worked with him before. He came to us vis-a-vis our casting director, Renee, and he was one of those guys where as soon as we saw the audition, we're like,
yeah. And Saginaw's face is like it's epic. You know, it's like you can see so many stories written on the skin with him. So that was just useful already. But then he turned out to be so compelling on screen. And he added there's a touch in the movie. I don't want to spoil it, but there's something that it's a big moment, and that was Saginaw's idea of sort of a reveal of who he is in relationship to
letting his hair down a bit.
Letting his hair down, yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. And it was something that we hadn't written, something that we didn't know about, and we were talking about him being a man of the woods, so having his hair down. And he's like, I wouldn't have my hair down unless I was grieving. And it was like, aha, that was an aha moment. We're like, well, okay. Well, now we know when you might want to let your hair
very,
down.
Very powerful scene.
Yeah. And so that was like one of those things, you cast the right guy and they take it somewhere that you never could have imagined.
There are a lot of Native American actors, primarily Native American actors in the film. What has been their reaction to see the finished product?
We did show the film to the Native American Literary Symposium, which was a gathering of people who teach Native American literature. Most of those scholars are Native or First Nations, and it went over great. That was a very scary audience. I was like, wow, we're showing the movie to the people who teach the book and who are also Native. And so that was pretty daunting on both sides. But it actually, they liked how we made the film and they like how it ended up.
And were you asking also what were the actors on
response? Yeah, and the actors themselves.
At the LA Film Festival, we were lucky in that Saginaw, who lives in Southern California, was able to come. And Casey Camp, who plays Teresa, who's terrific, was there. And, of course, Lily Gladstone came down and Chaskay and a number of other actors.
And Julia Jones.
And Julia. And one of the most honored moments I've felt was actually hearing hearing Saginaw and Casey and Lily speak about the sense of authenticity that they felt in the film, that it worked for them. Saginaw was very articulate about that, and that to me was the most strongest praise that I personally can take away from this. You know,
and I would just say that Andrew and I and our third writer Ken White, none of us being Native American, we had to rely on our cast to teach us and to lead us in certain regards about the film. And Lily Gladstone and Chaskay were really great guides in getting it right.
I think Montanans, when they see the film, are going to be struck by its authenticity, too.
We hope
to
so.
To me, it really just, this is so Montana.
we hope so very much. We believe very strongly in sort of the Richard Hugo idea of the more specific you are about your hometown, the more universal and evocative it becomes to everybody. That's a great, instead of trying to be generic, you try to be very specific and it'll actually trigger other people's hometowns is the idea. We also wanted to honor the book, which is I think a Montana treasure. And there was pressure to shoot the film in Canada. There was pressure to cast non-Native actors, but that was not the way to do this movie. And so we did it this way. And so we're very excited to show it to a Montana audience. Some Montana came down to LA, which was great. And the Montana Film Office has been extremely helpful all through the process, especially at this late stages. And they're helping us with this screening, too.
The film is, of course, about two brothers who grow up with losing their father when they're quite young. So, of course, all of us who know you two think of that as well when we see the film. We think of your personal biography and how that has to have informed the film so much.
Well, I'm sure it's what attracted us on some subconscious level to the material, in addition to our friendship with Jim and our interest in the subject matter. But I think that Alex and I are drawn to these stories of survival, you know, of survival and certainly of loss, but transcending loss, I think, is a common theme in the work that we find ourselves doing. I mean, it would be fun for us to write a film in which there's no dead fathers, but it'll have to be the next one.
Yeah. I mean, I think the way we could access the story was to access that which was universal. So it was about a person who has a very connected to their brother, about a person who loses their father, about a person who grows up isolated and feeling like, you know, they're missing out on something and looking for that and searching for that and searching for it in some wrong ways and dealing with their trauma or not dealing with their trauma, not dealing with their grief in a healthy way. And that being a sort of an okay medicine for a while, but at some point it stops working. And the movie's about when that stops working, if you haven't actually fully dealt with your loss in a healthy way.
I think that comes back to that sense of place and of land and of, you know, certainly in the novel and I think in the film, home is a very complicated concept for the main character. What is home? How can home feel so torturous and so many things and still be the place that creates solace? And I think that that is the exploration of that character and where he ends up at the, you know, in his discovery throughout the film is that home is carried around, you know, inside him. And that the concept of place is so deeply in the bones, which is echoed, I think, in all of Jim's writing. And certainly that sense of place is what we were after.
It's an excellent film, and we could talk about it for days on end. And I know people will be talking about it after they've seen it, and it will premiere this Saturday in Missoula at the Roxy Theater. There are 3 showings. The first 2 are sold out, but the 9:45 showing is still open.
Yes. Yeah. It's the newly refurbished Roxy. This is the first screening that's going to happen in the new version of the Roxy, which is a place that we saw movies as kids. We didn't have a TV, so we used to come in and see movies at the Roxy and the Crystal and
the Fox
and the World and the Woma. I'm really delighted to be playing at the Roxy and in this new iteration. In the 9:45 screening, we just added, and so there should still be tickets available. That's the last I heard.
And Andrew, it will be shown again in Missoula sometime in the future. This won't be the one and only time, obviously. Hopefully it will be shown around the world at some point.
We are, you know, we it'll have a strong Montana set of screenings later this fall. Obviously we will want it to get both on campus and off campus. We'll screen it here in Missoula. There's a lot of interest in the film across the state, which is great. And I think throughout the Northwest And we've been invited to a number of festivals, both in North America so far. So we'll be traveling with it a bit this fall as well, and then we'll see what happens with it. We're very encouraged by the reception so far.
This is a sneak preview, kind of. It's more of a thank you to Montana. Before we took it out on the road and took it to a lot of places, we really felt indebted to the support we got from Montana and from the communities of Missoula and the Highline. So we wanted to do a little sort of little splash of the movie, and we definitely will bring it back once we have our distribution sort of cycle in place.
And we will definitely be bringing it to Haver. There's a lot of people up there who are like, wait a minute, why aren't we showing it? You're showing it everywhere, but no, it's going to go. I mean, we'll be going up there in the High Line where it started.
I've been speaking with Andrew and Alex Smith. They are the directors and writers of the new film Winter in the Blood, based on James Welch's fantastic novel, and congratulations on the film. I think it's a huge success.
Oh, thank you so much, Sally. We've felt so encouraged by all the interest that, you know, has been shown by this community, including here at KUFM.